If you would, turn to the book of Acts, the fourth chapter. And when you find it, please stand in honor of God's word this morning as we'll read his word. I'm going to start with the sixth verse. I don't know how much I'm going to read down through there, but I'm going to start in Acts, the fourth chapter, the sixth verse. And the Bible tells us that Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole? And be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a noticeable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how that they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done, and the men was above 40 years old of whom this miracle of healing had shewed. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, again, I thank you, Father, for the opportunity, Lord, to stand behind a sacred desk. I ask you, Father, to be with the message this morning. Lord, I ask you to be with the hearts that are gathered here this morning. We pray, Father, that, Lord, as we listen to your word speak to us this morning, Lord, we let it sink into our hearts, Lord. Let it come, Lord, and let it guide us and direct us and show us the way. And we will give you the praise for it all in Jesus' holy and precious name we ask, and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Lord willing, this morning, I would like to preach on leaving an impression this morning. The verses of Scripture that I want to concentrate is the 13th verse of the fourth chapter, the last part of it. And it said, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." You know what it means to leave a lasting impression? You know what that means? That means somebody is, you know, what it is, it's a memory for someone that you're going to leave on them, no matter whether it's good, no matter whether it's bad, you're going to leave an impression on somebody after they have met you and after you've left. Whether you realize it or not, this is just the way it is, whether anybody in here realizes it or not, we are impacting people's lives on a daily basis. We are. We impact people's lives either in a negative way or a positive way, either in a carnal way or a spiritual way. There is one individual in here that does not affect and does not leave an impression on somebody as you meet them each and every day. One might say, "Well, I don't really care what people think about me. I really don't care what they think." Can I tell you something? As a Christian, that is not the attitude that we should have. I mean, there have been times in my life I have thought that. Have you? I've thought, "Well, I really don't care what they think." But before it came out of my mouth, the Spirit had dealt with me and told me, you know, that is not the spirit that you should have, Dave. Because as children of God, we not only represent Drift Run Church, We not only represent the kingdom of God, we represent the one that died on the cross for us one time, that shed his precious blood to save us. We represent him as well. We leave that kind of impression on those that we come in contact with daily. In 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, again, I'm going to start with the 10th verse. I want you to turn there because I believe this scripture is important to us. And then I'm going to go back over it a little bit here. I want to go back to the scripture in Acts, but in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, beginning with about the 10th verse. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now get that. He said, we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of everybody. You look out here in the world, we trust in a God that is a Savior for everyone. But Timothy goes on to say, especially for those, what? That believe. So that is what we need to understand there. These things, this verse 11, if you mark in your Bible, mark this, because this is important. He said this, these things command and teach. And then he's going to tell you what he wants you to command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but that thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to the reading, to the exhortation, to the doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands by the apostolate. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that they profiting may appear to all. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both what? Save thyself and them that hear. He said that is a command. He said that is what we should do. And that goes to everybody. That's what he says, what he told us. And he's saying, why? That is that we labor, that is that we strive, because we have our hope in something beyond all this world. That's why we labor, and that's why we strive. We don't come here this morning to be seen. We don't come here this morning to let people look at us and say, well, they just went to church. They went to church. That's not why we come. We do that because we labor. We want to serve the living God. It's a command to teach these things. He goes, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. I thought about this, young people. As a scripture. I thought about this is for you because you're young. He says, he goes on to tell us this. He said, set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and purity. Sometimes we think that just because they're young Christians, that they're not as good as us as old people sometimes. I want to tell you, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible tells us right there that that we should pray for them, that they would do all these things. And Paul goes on to say, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of the Scriptures. And he said, go on to preaching and to teaching. He goes on to say, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy. When the body of the elders laid their hands on, we should all want to pray for everybody, but especially for the young in our church. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress, watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and those that hear it. Man alive, that is what Jesus Christ, and whenever I'm talking about it, Jesus also said this in Matthew 5, 14 and 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm talking about leaving an impression on people. These people, Peter and John here, said they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, I want to ask you a simple question this morning as I get into this. Have you been with Jesus, first off? Have you been with him? Do you know what it means to be with Jesus?
Do you know what it means to be saved? And just, Daryl, I know I bring this up and I preach, because you know what? There's the only thing that will ever make a difference in your life is to know that Jesus Christ lives in your heart. That's the only thing that will ever make a difference in your life. When I'm talking spiritually, the only thing you have and you are and you will make an impression on people that you come in contact with. I just cannot say it enough. You will, you have, you are, you're going to make an impression. Every Christian is leaving their mark on the society, on your community, on your family, on the ones around you. We are leaving that mark. Everyone in this building this morning will leave an impression on the people that you have met. Family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, whatever it may be, you're going to leave that impression. May I ask you, have you been with Jesus? Is that the kind of impression? That's the kind of impression I want to leave. How about you this morning? I want to know that I have been with Him. I want to know that this morning. And either after we have gone, I can tell you this, even after we are out of this world, we are still leaving an impression on people, whether or not we have been with Jesus or not. I hear people in this church talk about John Spinago all the time. Did he not leave an impression? Why? Because he was with Jesus. He had been with Jesus. He not only left an impression on his church, he left an impression on his community, did he not? And then he's not here no more, but he left an impression. You hear me talk about Hayward and Geraldine Gribble all the time. Mike's mom and granddad. I'm here to tell you this morning, and I'll be just blunt with you. No one loved like those people loved. I've never seen it out of anybody else. And I think to myself, Dave, you fail. But you know what? I can only do what God gives me to do. But they loved beyond love. Because why? They had been with Jesus. Amen. They knew what it was like to be with the Lord. I'm telling you, brother, we leave a mark on people after leaving long after we're gone. We will leave that mark. I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you this morning, after I'm gone, you're going to either have a good impression of me or a bad impression of me. And I can say the same thing about everybody else in this church building. Once we are out of this world, they'll say, we will leave that impression. I call those people heroes of the faith. Praise God. There's a song out there called Heroes of the Faith. And if you've ever heard it, it talks about the saints of God. Listen to me. There's no doubt that they had been with Jesus. And praise God, I want you this morning to understand, if you want to leave the right kind of impression, you have to be with Jesus. You have to be with Him. What kind of impression are you making? Is it temporal? Is it eternal? My, oh my, I can take you and I can show you people that have made the wrong kind of impression. I mean, what do they say about Hitler? What still to this day, and the man's been dead for how many years? Still to this day, what is the impression you get of him? And we can go right on down the line. We either leave a good impression or a bad one when we leave this world. Anyone can leave a mark. Now those who know you. Amen? Those that know you. Let me tell you a little story about a television show I seen years ago. It was one of these cop shows. And what it was, They was out into solving cases that they could not find any evidence for whatsoever. So what they done, they would take, and they, in this show in particular, they said they had no witnesses, but they had like 7 to 14 suspects. 7 to 14. But when it was said and done, there was no physical evidence whatsoever. No fingerprints, no DNA, no eyewitnesses. So they had no idea who to blame it on. So they called in what they called a profiler in. They called this profiler in. What he done, he took all the evidence, whether it was physical, whatever it was, and he piled it all together. He took it in and he looked at it. And he said, this is what the individual, this is what he would be like or she would be like if he's the one, if they're the one that committed this murder. You know what they did? They said, out of all this, they said, we have one person that fits that profile. But they said, and the police said, well, let's just call him back in and get him back in here. Let's go over him again one more time. And that guy, profiler, said, it ain't going to do you no good. He said, you have no evidence. He said, and this guy's not going to tell you that he did it. He said, but I'll tell you what to do. He said, you follow him. You follow him for months. Don't let him know that you're following him. You follow him. And then you find, then you go talk to all his acquaintance that he's been with down through the months. He said, you go follow him and you do that. The cops did that. And you know what they did? One night, he was drunk and he was in a bar and he told the people that he did it. And they nailed him. You know what? People know you. Your acquaintance know you. You say, Dave, what's that mean? He said, listen to me. Listen, and you'll say, Sean doesn't know me personally. He knows me here. My wife knows me. The people I work with know me. If you want to know anything about the way Dave Long lives, you go talk to them. Don't come and ask me, because I'm not going to, I'll lie about myself. You see how we are? We all think of ourselves better than what we are sometimes. You know what? My wife knows me. My kids know me. The ones that I work with know me. Those are the acquaintances that I'm around every day. They know me. If you ask them, they will tell you how I live my life. And I'm here this morning to tell you, the people around you know you, whether or not you've been with Jesus or not. You are not going to fool. You're not going to fool. You may fool some of the people. You may come in this church and you may stand up and give the best testimony that you ever give. And you may be as lost can be. Because you know why? Because you know why? You do not know Jesus as your Savior, but brothers and sisters, people will find you out. Find you out. Listen, please, no matter how, what the situation is, you know what? We leave an impression on people. We leave an impression on people. You go back and talk to the ones that whenever I was in high school, my impression was bad. You talk to the people since I've known Jesus, and they'll tell you what my impression of me is now. I'm not bragging on me because there's nothing to brag on me. I'm a sinner just saved by grace like anybody else in this building. But praise God, there is a difference that Jesus makes. Why? Because I had been with Jesus. I had been with him. Just like Peter and John, I had been with him. You'll never tell on yourself, but the longer you go, listen to me, people will find you out. People will find you out. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. Folks, in other words, listen. If you want to know something about an individual, don't go to them. Go to the people around them. They can tell you about that person. They can tell you about their acquaintance. Really know who they are. That what you stand for, what you think. They'll know what by giving them information about yourself on a daily basis. And we do that whether or not we want to believe it or not. Every day we let people know whether or not we have been with Jesus. We let them know. We let them know. Acts 4:13. And after all the religious folks had done doing, and after they was listening to Peter and John, they came to the same conclusion. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That ignorant doesn't mean what you think it means. We'll get into that here in just a little bit. That doesn't mean that doesn't mean what you think it means. Then is it the religious leaders that they thought that they had gotten rid of Jesus, number one. They thought that they had gotten rid of him. They thought that they had gotten rid of the movement. I'm here to tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, Christianity will never be gotten rid of. Amen. My Lord and Savior said that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know what? They say Christianity is down to like 10% in this country right now. It's what they're saying. True believers in Jesus Christ is down that low. I'm here to tell you, America could go atheist as far as I'm concerned. Christianity will still stand. Because it'll never fail. It'll never go. Because praise God, I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ said that it would never. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. They told them that they thought that, you know what, it'd be just like all the other false prophets that come. They thought it would be like that, that once they killed Jesus, that would be the end of it. Guess what it did? It made it stronger. And the more that you persecute Christianity, the more that it'll grow, and the more that it'll grow, and the more that it'll grow, they will never get rid of it. Till Jesus Christ comes back to get his church. And praise God, when he does that, it doesn't make any difference in because, brothers and sisters, we will be with him forever. Amen?
He said, get rid of the leader, and the people will not even take concern with it. You know what? They didn't realize that this thing is a life-changing, supernatural experience. It isn't some man-made thing that is made up. It's not that whatsoever. It is a supernatural, life-changing experience that has happened to people's lives. Listen, they made it bigger. They made it stronger. No matter how much they tried, Jesus said that it would never, ever fade away, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Brothers and sisters, do you know who you've been with? Do you know who you've been with here this morning? Do you know that? And will you tell the world about it? You know, Peter and John weren't just facing somebody talking bad about them. We get upset sometimes when somebody talks bad about us because we're Christians, right? Oh, man, they're talking bad about me. They are arguing with me about this. They were facing getting beat and getting put to death. And I love what verse 20 says, For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Can I ask you this morning, are you like that this morning? Or have you got so much of Jesus in you that when you're out here in the world and they're coming after you, praise God, you can't help but let them know about His goodness and about His grace and about what He has done for you? Can't help but speak of Jesus. I don't know about you, but you know what? If they try to silence me, He's the one who done everything for me, Patty. He done everything for me. I was wretched. I was vile. I was everything that you could lay down there for me whenever before I was saved. I was all that, Sue. And my mom couldn't change me. My grandparents couldn't change me. Only one that could, and that was Jesus. How can I not help but speak of Him and let the world know that He can do the same for them? I'm telling you, whenever you come to know Jesus, Peter and Paul said, whenever you come to know Him and have been with Him, listen, it said, you'll speak boldly. They said here, and they saw the boldness of Peter and John. When they saw it, praise God, why? Because, you know, they knew what they were facing. They knew why what was going on against them. They knew what they faced. They could either face death or beatings. They knew that, but they were still bold. I'll tell you what, when you've been with Jesus, there'll be a boldness about you. There'll be a boldness about you whenever you've been with Him. Having been with Jesus, and I looked at their lives, and some of the things, there are some of the things that whenever you look at the Scripture, you can see what they're talking about when they've been with Jesus. The wisdom that they had was supernatural. It was not man-made wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2:6 says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that have come to naught. Folks, I'll be the first to understand. I'm going to be the first to be this blunt with you this morning. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I understand that. I'll be blunt. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. They said Morgan got 4.0. I probably got half of that. I'm just here to tell you this morning, we don't have to be smart. We don't have to be super intelligent to spread the word of God. Amen. We don't have to be that way, because whenever the Spirit of God comes into us and He gives us what we need to say. How many of you in here have ever got the right Scripture come to you at the right time? How many of you in here have ever been able to say something to somebody at the right time that helped them? We all have. I mean, did you think that come naturally? No. I tell you what, when you've been with Jesus, I'm telling you, that boldness will come. He'll give you what you need to say at the right time it's needed to be said. He'll give you all that. Because praise God, He gives us a holy boldness. I'm not talking about arrogance here this morning, by the way. It's not a bit of arrogance. It's not. Some people, I think somewhere down along the line, sometimes some of the Christians have gotten pretty arrogant about the way that they bring things across. I really am. That's not that. I'm talking about a Holy Ghost-filled boldness that, you know what, brothers and sisters, whenever it's time, whenever He gives it to us, praise God, He will give that to us. And we will get it whenever it's needed. Listen, they were unschooled. They were ordinary guys. That's what I'm talking about. I see a bunch of ordinary folks in here. Not that I'm putting you down, but praise God, we're all ordinary to a certain extent. And if they can use ordinary people like Peter and John, they can surely use us. Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. That's what that means. That means that they were unschooled and ordinary people.
Brother, when we've been with Jesus, we can do extraordinary things. We can. God will show you and teach you how to do it. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 and 12 says, "But God has revealed them unto us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of God, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." There's some things that have been given to us. I'm just going to tell you some more. There's some things that have been given to us, and they've been given to us freely, and God shows them to us through His Word and through His Spirit. Amen? They spoke with boldness. If you've been with Jesus, I'm here to tell you, you're going to speak bold sometimes. There are going to be times you're going to have to speak bold. There are going to be times you're going to have to speak up. When you've been with Jesus, listen to me. Listen, when you've been with Jesus, He'll give you that wisdom. And He'll give you what to say. For we cannot but speak the things which we have heard and seen. Now, I can tell you this. Whenever I first got saved, the only thing that I could talk about to people around me was what I'd heard and what I'd seen. I'd heard Jesus Christ saves, but you know what I've seen? I've seen a change in me. Amen. Amen. I've seen the change. I know what happened to me. I know. And to try to explain it as a 16-year-old boy and trying to explain it to other 16-year-old boys and girls and trying to explain it to them that Jesus Christ saves. Can you? And the people around me, most of them would look at you like this. But some of them listened. Some of them listened. I even had one of the boys tell me he had one nothing to do with it. I told you about that here a while back. I had one of the boys tell me, he said, I don't want anything to do with that. And you know, it kind of broke my heart at first because I'm thinking, man, I got something everybody should want. And he didn't want it. I hope and pray today that he's saved. If I ever get to see him again one of these days, I'm going to talk to him again. But I'm here to tell you, if you've been with Jesus, I'm here to tell you, you will leave a mark. You will leave an impression on people around you. You know, I think about we have school teachers in here. And I know Patty back here, she's retired. But she'll still see kids. And Patty, those kids still come up to you and hug you. Because why? Because you left an impression on them, either bad or good. You've left it. I'm here to tell you this morning, and that goes for every occupation you have in here. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. Whatever it may be, you're leaving an impression. You're leaving it. Praise God. Make sure that you've been with Jesus. Make sure. Because if you have, you're going to leave a good impression. You're going to leave a good one. Praise God this morning. Say, come get a song.